If you'll go to Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, and then if you'd also get Genesis chapter 45 as well. We'll start in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, Genesis chapter 45, the first book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament. And we'll begin in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 18. But before we do, would you pray with me one more time? Would you care to do that? Lord, please receive our thanks for saving us from our sins and giving us a promise of eternal life. And Lord, thank you for Choice Hills Baptist Church. For those that are here tonight, Lord, that have been at work today and perhaps at school, Lord, I pray you'd give them hearing ears. Lord, you'd help their heart to receive what you have to say. Lord, help me to stay out of your way. Nothing said tonight that would hinder your message. Everything said tonight that you want said. Lord, fill me with your spirit. God, help me to help your people by your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 18, a passage of scripture that I think deals with something that really I think all of us can relate to. Now, there were parts of my messages last night that perhaps you couldn't relate to, but I do believe you can relate to this tonight. Matthew chapter 18, if you look, we'll pick it up down around, let's see, we'll start in verse 15. Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word might be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Look down at verse number 21. Then came Peter, right after Jesus' teaching. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? And so what you have in verse 15, you have somebody that's been offended. There has been a trespass. Something has been done to hurt someone else. And Peter picks that same thought up as he's listening to the Lord. And he says, how often am I supposed to forgive a brother that trespasses against me? How many times do I have to do that? And if you look, Jesus had already dealt with offenses when he began talking about children. I mentioned last night that Satan has a particular taste for children. I also like to add tonight, so does the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves little children. But look in verse number 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. In other words, he's telling you in verse number 7, Jesus Christ made the emphatic, definitive statement that offenses will come. You cannot live in this world without being offended. And I remember somebody taking, they would quote that verse, I can hear them saying right now in their mind, well, the Bible says that great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I've said that from the pulpit. I've preached that passage. You know, I have no offense from the Lord, but the Lord's not who I have a problem with. It's the other people that I live around. It's the people in my house. It's the people in my neighborhood. It's the people that I work with. It's the people that I stand in line with. It's the people that live in Georgia and South Carolina and Tennessee and Mississippi and New York and California. There are people that will bring a trespass into your life. And listen, if you think that you can live without being hurt or someone not doing something offensive to you, then you've got the wrong idea. If you really believe that some of the preaching that's put out on the television, that I got saved and now I'm going to have the best life, and I'm always going to be happy, and I'm always going to be full of joy, and I'm never going to have any problems because God wants me to have a great life this side of heaven. You just not read your Bible. There are so many offenses that happen in the Bible, and they happen to you. So what happens when you have somebody offend you? What do you do? What do? Do you get angry? Do you get even? You know, I've heard people say, I don't get mad, I just get even. I remember what you did. I remember what you said. Well, look, Jesus deals with that. So look with me, if you would. Verse number 21, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? You mean to forgive him seven times? Is that enough? You know, have you ever heard somebody say this, three strikes and you're out? You ever heard that? Three strikes and you're out. Peter really, I think, is following some logic. He said, I think he's trying to be gracious. If this man or woman or whomever it is sins against me, trespasses against me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Is that enough? And look how the Lord responds. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490 times. How many of y'all think that's a lot? How many of you would think that's a whole lot if somebody hurt you 490 times? Make it real. Oh, yeah, that's a lot. Well, what if that happened to you? I mean, after number six, I mean, because we want to throw a rock at Peter for saying seven times. I mean, after the seventh time, I mean, don't you think that's enough? And Jesus, instead of saying, no, how about eight? We'll go with the number of new beginnings. How about that nine? We'll go with fruitfulness. No, he said, how about seven times 70? How about 490 times? And I'm telling you, I know in Peter's heart, I think his spirit sank. I think he thought, oh my goodness, how in the world can you forgive somebody that many times? How can you take and genuinely forgive somebody? My mother, when we were growing up, I have one brother, pastor mentioned him, and my mother did not like us to fight, and she would, when we got into a fight, and we never fought with fists, but when we got into a fight, then she would stop and she would get us together and she would say, now you tell him you're sorry. And I'd have to say, I'm sorry. And Brent say, I'm sorry. And Mom said, now, hug his neck. I don't want to hug him. Hug his neck. And then she'd say this. She'd say, now tell him you love him. I love you. I love you too. No, tell him like you mean it. So when we talk about forgiveness tonight, I'm not talking about being able to, you know, mentally say the words, oh, I forgive you. I don't believe the Lord's talking about just a very simplified, okay, don't worry about it, it's okay. I think it's very real, very genuine. He's telling Peter, no, not seven times, 490 times you need to forgive. Look at the rest of the passage. Verse 23, he gives him an illustration to help him understand what he's saying. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants? And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. When the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender, that's exactly what this passage is teaching. This man owes more than he can pay. People try to talk about, well, how much is 10,000 talents? It is such an immeasurable amount that the only way he could take and pay that debt back in form was if the man was sold, his wife was sold, look at it, his wife and then his children and all that he had, sell his house, sell his land, sell his children, and then we'll call it even. You see, he was in debt, obviously, so much debt he could not pay his way out. Then look what the Bible says. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He's begging, please, please, don't sell my wife, don't sell my children. If you'll be patient with me, I'll pay everything. And knowing he can't do it, the master knows this man can't pay it. Next verse, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He looked at him and his heart moved toward him. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to forgive your debt.
Amen.
You owe absolutely more than you could ever pay. And I know you'll never be able to pay it.
So what I'm going to do for you, I'm just going to forgive your debt.
Does that sound like something maybe a little bit familiar to us? How many of you think that you owed more than you would ever be able to pay, but somebody named Jesus Christ said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I know you'd never be able to pay it off in a lifetime. I'll just go ahead and I'll forgive you all your debt, all your sins. I'm just going to wipe it all away. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You don't have the ability to pay. You can't work your way. You couldn't do, and it's the same thing true of salvation. You can't work your way. You can't be good enough. There's not enough days for you to be able to make everything right. You owe a debt you can't pay. And that's all of us. And Jesus Christ paid the debt that we could not pay. Look at the next verse. Starts with a conjunction. A contrasting conjunction. But the same servant, same man, went out and found one of his servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, I do know what that is. In the Bible, a penny is a day's wage. So 100 days' wage, that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about an insurmountable debt that would take all of my possessions, my wife, my children, be sold to pay for. We're talking about 100 days' wage. Look what the Bible says. Which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Do you see what happened in that passage? The man that had been forgiven a debt that he could not pay, larger than he had the ability to pay, had no means to do it, and his Lord said, I'm going to forgive you. That same man went to a man that owed him 100 days' wage. And when he went to him, Quentin is a dear friend. Come here, Quentin. He came to that man and he said, had just been forgiven a debt he couldn't pay. And he said, pay me everything you owe me. Look at your Bible. What else does it say that he did? What did he do? Don't you look. Now look, he grabbed, quit smiling at me. He grabbed that man by the throat. Do you see how aggressive that is? Do you see how angry that man is over 100 days' wage? He grabs him by the throat, and when he says, I can't pay you, then he says, hey, take this guy and go throw him into prison. How many of you think that's really harsh? And here's illustrated to you. Thank you, Quentin. There is a kind of forgiveness that we want given to us. We appreciate God forgiving all of our debt. And we want people to be forgiving to us. But then there's also a forgiveness that we don't want to give. I don't want to forgive that. And the Bible says that the other servants that watched it, look what they said. It grieved them. It bothered them that they saw that take place in verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told it unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him and said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You asked me. You begged me. I didn't sell your wife. I didn't sell your children. You asked me. I forgave everything. Verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you. Now watch. Are you looking at your Bible? Look at your Bible. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The Lord uses the illustration of a man that had a debt he could not pay and a man that owed a small debt that he couldn't pay. And when the man that had the huge debt was forgiven and then came and demanded payment, he said, listen, I forgave you. You should forgive him. Come on, how many of you think that because God forgave us, we ought to be a forgiving people? Amen. Ephesians 4:32 is very clear in that. The Bible talks about that very issue that we ought to forgive others for Christ's sake.
In other words, we're willing to forgive something that hurt us, that injured us, a trespass, not because it benefits us, not because it's a blessing or because we have great character. It's because we've been forgiven all of this debt. And since we were forgiven, then we can forgive somebody else. I'm telling you right now, I think Christians ought to be the most forgiving people in the world. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I don't believe we are. I believe what we do is we do exactly what that man did. We have a penny. Somebody's trespassed against us. Somebody hurt one of our children, said something to us. We did something to somebody that we weren't supposed to do. And that person took that penny, and they'll hold on to that, and they're not going to let that penny go. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been around Christianity all my life. And people are so quick to tell you about what somebody did to them. There are some people that I know the story they're going to tell because they've told me so many times what sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, what that church did, what this individual did, and they're holding on to a penny when they've been forgiven everything by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to hold it. It's valuable to me. And the Lord is saying, no, wait a minute. I forgave everything. And that just doesn't mean anything. In fact, tonight, I should have got here a little earlier, but I'm just curious. When I walked in, I dropped a penny on the floor. How about that? Who picked up my penny? So this dear sister picked it up and put it in the plate. I'm surprised at that because most of you, how many of you walk past a penny? Got one man honest. Listen. This is worth nothing. Today in our economy, this has no value. It's a cent. One penny. And what the Lord's trying to teach Peter is, hey, Peter, I forgave you of something far greater. You offended me. You trespassed against me. And I forgave all of that debt. And you're going to hold on to something that somebody did to you, said to you, that hurt you, and you're not going to let it go. You value their trespass more than you value the forgiveness that I gave you. And I'm telling you, bitterness. Somebody's been hurt. Somebody did something to you. Somebody took something from you. Somebody embarrassed you. And this is not just for church members. This happens between husbands and wives. This happens between children and their parents. Parents and their children. This happens between neighbors. This is not something that's just contained to the church. I don't think that's the illustration that's being given. It's a principle about forgiveness. And tonight, you know what I'm certain of while I'm preaching right now? I'm certain of it. I know the way the Lord works because he worked on my heart on the way here. Do you know what your penny is? Have you got something you're holding on to? You're not going to let that thing go. You hurt me. And hurt, listen, I'm not minimizing that. You know, listen, somebody hurts you deeply. There's many times you can't remove those scars. You can't get rid of the damage that was done. There are things that happen in life that you can't not, there's no way to unwind what happened. There's no way to put it back into the bottle. There's no way to take and smooth it all out. It's broken. It's messed up. It's got all kind of things that are hanging off of it that are attached to so many other things. But I'm telling you what you can do. Listen, if God could forgive, listen to me. If God could forgive you and I of every trespass we ever made against him, shouldn't we be able to forgive other people as well? Shouldn't you be able to forgive your parents? Shouldn't you be able to forgive your child? How about your pastor? How about your spouse? How about your brother? Yeah, I saw an article. Nancy Pelosi hadn't talked. She's not spoken to Joe Biden since she pressured him to quit. And I'm not going to debate about whether that should have been done. I'm just telling you what she's saying is, and what he's probably saying is, you offended me. I see your phone, or I see your number come up on my phone, and it's going to voicemail. I'm not talking to you. And I'm telling you tonight that forgiveness, unforgiveness, you're talking about something that will keep your soul from being refreshed, something that will wither your heart, wither your soul, that will sap all the energy, all the love, all the joy. And listen tonight, and if you're here, if you're not saved, you don't understand what it's like. I'm going to hold on to this sin that I have. I'm telling you right now, somebody's got to help me. If you got free from your sin tonight and accepted what Jesus did on the cross to pay for your sin, you would have a freedom in your soul that money cannot produce. There is no alcohol, there is no drug, there is nothing that can give you the freedom and the joy of being set free and finally having paid, stamped on all of your soul's sin debt. And the same thing's true of a Christian that gives forgiveness. That's difficult. That's difficult. Well, how do I do that? How do you expect us to do that? Well, look in Genesis 45 and I'll show you. In Genesis chapter 45, I think if there's anybody in the Bible that had reason to be bitter, I would say it's Joseph. The reason I say that is because Joseph's brothers, they conspired against him. They put him into a pit. They sold him into slavery. He went to Potiphar's house. Potiphar bought him. While he's in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife lies about him. Even though he's trying not, he is refusing her advances. And then he goes to prison. And while he's in prison and he has the baker and he has the butler and he tells them their dreams and the man says, listen, when I get out of here, I'm going to remember you. And he was forgotten and left in that prison. If there's anybody that could have been angry and bitter, I think Joseph could have been that man. But I think Joseph was a forgiving man. And I think that's what helped him to have the freedom and joy. Now, he's number two in all the kingdom. In this passage that we're in Genesis 45, he is the second in command. He is the vice president, if you would, of Egypt. So he has great authority and great power and ability. And listen, if it was about vengeance, how many of you men, if a woman got you put into prison and left you there by false accusation, and then you were made vice president of the United States, you think she might get a big bill? Look at you, y'all look like, no, it wouldn't be me. Would be me. I'd send the IRS to her house. Absolutely. You need to go check this person out right here. And she's crooked, just remember that. Amen. He had that ability. He could have gotten vengeance. He could have gotten vengeance on his brother. Come on, some of you. some of you have gotten vengeance on your sibling this week. And if you have the power, I kick you out of the room. It's my room forever now. You don't ever get to come in. I'm taking all your stuff. It belongs to me. Yeah, it's getting quiet. He's in a position to reveal a heart that's hardened from bitterness. But he doesn't. He does the opposite. His brothers come back, and now he has them. Genesis 45, look what the Bible says. Speaking of forgiveness, then Joseph, verse 1, could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Four steps in forgiveness.
that I want you to jot down that are right here in this passage. The first one is this. Joseph said, cause every man to go out from me. If you want to make forgiveness something easier, then you need to do what we read in Matthew chapter 18. You need to keep the offense small. You don't need to let it get large. You need to keep the offense small. He said, have every man out from me. He wasn't going to do what he was going to do publicly. He was going to be privately. When somebody trespasses against you, when somebody offends you, then the Bible says you're supposed to go to that brother, that sister, alone. You're supposed to go to them alone, and it's not supposed to go out. We live in an age today that when somebody offends us, we can put it out on social media. I mean, we can send it out a number of ways, and we can make that thing so large. And you know, the larger it gets, the harder it is to get that thing forgiven. The harder it is to be able to say, look, they're forgiven, because now everybody knows and it's been made a spectacle. And Joseph didn't want to do that. He wanted to keep it small. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll keep things small, if you'll keep them small, it makes it much easier to find a way to get them forgiven and taken care of. Now, I believe you have a pastor. If there's some things that are going on in your life and in your world, I believe you've got somebody that you can go to and you can talk to and say, can you help me with this? I'm really not sure what to do with this. But going to another brother and trying to convince them of your position, I tell you what, that guy sitting on the fifth row, can I tell you a little bit about him tonight? You really need to know, because it might hurt you as well. And look, and I know some people are going to say it's not true, but I know it to be true. So let me. Or maybe it's this way. Brother, you see that guy on the fifth row over there? Would you mind praying with me over him? He really is a pretty poor person. I mean, he chewed me out before service because I bumped his car. I think he's got us. I don't even know if he's saved. Can we pray for him? You say, oh, that would never happen in church or a family. When you begin to pass something that you were offended in, then you stepped out really outside the scripture, because the Bible says you're supposed to go to them alone. Go to them alone. Joseph kept it small. I am so grateful for some people that came to me and kept things small. We were playing baseball in high school, and I was in a position that I didn't normally play, shortstop, and a ball was hitting my direction, went right past me, and I got mad, and I slammed my glove down out on the field, and the guy in the outfield threw the ball in. Well, when we came out off the field, my best friend's father met me, and he said, Joel, can I talk to you just a second? And I said, sure, Mr. Monroe, what do you need? And I'm mad, missed that ball, and I got over there, and away from everybody else, he looked at me, and he said, your mom and daddy raised you better than to act like that on a field like that. You threw that thing down in front of everybody, and listen, you go to church, your daddy's influential in the church, you got a great mother, and you're out here making a shame out of your family. I mean, He read me the riot act for throwing my glove down. But he only read it to me. Didn't read it to anybody else. And I was mad. I didn't like what he was saying. But that's the last time I ever threw him a glove down. Because he came to me personally. Now, the reason we get big with it is because does anybody here ever talk to yourself? Yeah. You can convince yourself of so many things. Well, when we have that conversation, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to go to him, and this is what I'm going to say. And get all worked up, fired up about it. And it may not even be what you think. You know, I found this out. It is better not to accuse somebody of something. It is better to ask them what they did. And sometimes you'll find out they have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't even know I did that. Yeah? Well, you did it. I'm telling you, you did it. I got your penny right here. I remember it. I don't even remember. I'm so sorry. So keep it small. Number two, look at the second thing. Not only keep it small, but he said, have every man out from me. But the second thing he said was this. Verse number one, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren, and he wept aloud. Now, why would he do that? Why would Joseph weep looking at his brethren? I personally think it's because He saw that they had no idea what was going on. They didn't know who he was. They had already gone back and forth to Israel now twice. And they've had two of their brothers bound and left in prison while the others go out back home. And here they are now, and he just had every man out. He speaks Egyptian. They don't recognize him. I think they're sort of in this state of unbelief. What's going on? They're in the dark. And he looks at him, and I think he has compassion on him. And that's what I'm going to say. If you would do this, it would help you and I. If you would do this, if you could have compassion on the offender, that would help you with forgiveness. I'm going to ask you a question. Please help me. How many of you have ever had a bad day? How many of you think when you're having a bad day that it's all right to have a bad day? Or do you just fake it? No, what kind of day are you having? I'm having a great day. Well, why were you banging on the hood of your car? Because it just needed straightening out a little bit. I'm having a great day. Yeah. And listen, there are times people have no idea what they've done. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever done something to somebody and had no idea what you'd done, didn't do it on purpose at all? We had Mother's Day one year. And every year at Mother's Day in Alabama, I always, and in Greenville, always try to recognize the mothers. I think it's a great day. I think we ought to honor them. And we had service, and that morning we had a lady that played the piano for us, and we had my song, it was my song leader's wife, and they were dear people, great people, sweet. And when I say sweet, I mean sweet people. Never had any problem out of them at all. All they were supportive and helpful. And it was Mother's Day. And they'd probably been married 18, 20 years. Never had children. And like normal, I'm just walking, I'm shaking. Hey, sister, how you doing? Happy Mother's Day. And oh, good to see you. Happy Mother's Day. And I got to her, and I said, Happy Mother's Day. And when I did, I thought, man, you just hurt her. And I said, Nita, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. And she says, okay, Pastor. Went and got on the piano. I went to her husband, and I said, Jimmy, I told your wife today, Happy Mother's Day, and I didn't mean to do that, and I'm so sorry. And he said, it's okay, Pastor. I love you. It's all right. He probably could have said, you know, everybody says something stupid every now and then. You talk a lot, so you got a lot of opportunity. He could have said that. You know what I think he did? I don't think that's the first time that was said to them. I think she and he both had compassion on me for doing something hurtful that I didn't intend to do. And sometimes people do that. They say something before they think. They do something before they get all the information. They do something. How many of you ever done something you regretted? Come on. I'm talking about regret. I'm talking about deeply regret. I'm carrying regrets in my heart right now for things in the past. I mean, I'm talking about regret. If I could go back and do them over again, I would never do them the same way. I would never allow them to go the same way. But I can't undo them. Well, then you know what? You can have somebody that gets hardened towards you and bitter towards you, and you can do that to somebody else, or you can have compassion on them. They didn't know what they were doing. They were out there in the dark, and I think that he's weeping. I don't think he's just crying. He's weeping. There's a difference between weeping and crying. How many of you know that? My dad's brother had... He had a severe back injury, and he lost his job, which took away some of his dignity. So he started a job at home, and he started working on bicycles at home. And then he got where he couldn't do that, and he went to the Mayo Clinic and Cleveland Clinic, and he did everything you could possibly do, and could not get any help. Now, this is so many years ago, and I came home one day, and my dad was in his bedroom, and I could hear my dad weeping all the way through the house when I came to the front door. I said, Mom, what's wrong with Dad? And his brother took his life today. And he just wept. And I wanted him to stop. And he just wept. Joseph's compassion's real. He's looking at them. Where they are, where he is. And he's thinking, man,
I know I made all kind of messes, and these are my brothers, and he has compassion on them. And I'm telling you, if you want to be able to forgive, have compassion on the person that offended you. I know that's hard, because we don't always know the circumstances. Third thing. Not only that, but look at the first question he asked. He could have asked so many things, but look what he says. Verse number 3, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph, doth my father yet live? The first question he asked is, hey, is dad living? And stick with me. He could have asked anything to those, but he could have said anything. I believe the Bible records exactly what he said. I'm Joseph. And what could you fill in after that? I mean, the brother that said, let's kill him. What could you have said after that? But he didn't. The first thing he said, I'm Joseph. Hey, is dad living? Third thing I'm going to tell you, you have to value the relationship more than the offense. He put value on his dad. I just need to know if dad's living more than he did the offense, the penny. And so many times, people leave a church because they get offended at the pastor because he didn't come visit them the fifth time at the hospital, or because he said something from the pulpit that went a little bit sideways with them. People get offended at each other and leave the church because that person, she said something ugly to my child, and I'm just not going to live with somebody like that. And every time they come in, they can't worship. They can't do anything because they're holding on to that penny. So many people leave a marriage 20 years, 15 years, 30 years. But there's enough that's built up, and they say, I'm not staying in this anymore. I'm not living here anymore. And I'm walking out the door with all of my stuff. It's finished. And here's what I'm telling you. It would be better to value the relationship than the penny. And that's what Joseph is doing. He's saying, you know what? I love dad and I miss dad. How's dad doing? If people valued the relationship more than they valued the offense, we'd have a whole lot more forgiveness going on. And then the fourth thing. Look at this fourth thing. He says this. He says it three times, and I read the passage so you would see it. So look at it the first time. The first time in verse 5, God did send me. The second time, verse 7, God sent me before you. The third time, verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me, but God. Here's what he did. He committed the offense to God. He just said, God, I don't understand why I'm in this pit, but I'm trusting you. I don't understand why I'm at Potiphar's house. I don't like the culture. I don't like the language. This lady's dangerous, but I'm going to commit that to you. I don't know why I'm in this prison. I don't know why I'm here. I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm going to commit that to you. And he tells his brothers, he said, look, it wasn't you that sent me. It was God that sent me. He committed the offense to God. Doesn't that sound like somebody else that you know? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's committing the offense to God. He's taking the suffering and committing the offense to God. God, I'm going to drink this cup for all of these people that have sinned. I'm going to do it because of your will. Not my will, but thine be done. So the offense, he just says, you guys meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Do you know sometimes it's good for us to be offended and be broken because it helps us find out a little bit more about ourselves? Yeah. You know it's easy to find out what's in somebody? When you bump them. When they have a problem. I've heard people say this, well, I just can't help it. I busted my hand, so a curse word just came out. You know why a curse word came out? Come on, you know why a curse word came out, right? Because there was one down inside. Whatever's in the cup is what comes out when it gets bumped, right? You bump somebody hard enough, you're going to see what comes out. You're going to know what's in. Sometimes it's good for us to be offended. David said, it was good for me to be afflicted. Sometimes those offenses are good for us. All right? And all I'm just saying is that he committed to God. He said, God, I'm just going to commit that. It would be good for some of us in here tonight. Listen, keep it small. Have compassion on that person that offended you. Value the relationship more than the offense, but then commit it to God. You say, is that all? No, that's not all. Turn to chapter 50 and I'll be finished. Chapter 50. How many of you are with me right now? You still with me? I'm trying to tell where we are right now. You say, this is a hard message. You're right. It's rough. Chapter 50. Chapter 50, Joseph's dad finally dies. And when he dies, the brothers are really upset about it, but they're scared to death of what Joseph is going to do. Look at verse 15. Look at this. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, are you looking in your Bible? When they saw their father was dead, they said, now watch, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. How many of y'all think that sounds like people that are guilty talking? Does that sound like somebody's guilty? He is going to pay us back. Daddy's gone, and now he's going to pay us back. Why would they be guilty? They would be guilty. I'm telling you why they're guilty. Number one, they definitely injured their brother and potentially messed their life. I'm sure they found out about Potiphar's house. If Joseph didn't tell them, somebody else did. And now they're saying, he's going to requite unto us all the evil because they haven't come to him and asked him to forgive them. I don't have any doubt about that in my mind. Look at the very next verse. And they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive I pray thee now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake in it. They said, daddy told us to tell you to forgive us. How many of you think that was a lie as well? I don't believe that. I don't believe Jacob looked at those boys and said, okay, now you all know what you did to your brother. Y'all make sure you get that right or he's going to do evil to you. I think they're guilty and they haven't asked for forgiveness. Now listen to me. This is the fifth and most important point. Forgiveness can be unconditional. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And he says again in verse 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. I think Joseph forgave his brothers before they ever brought the issue back up. And here's what we want. Please stay with me. We want people to be so expressive. And I think you should. When you hurt somebody, you ought to ask them for forgiveness. Can I get an amen on that? Go to them and take the responsibility. And don't do something like this. Tonight's your bad night, Brother Burgess. Don't go, brother, if I've ever offended you of anything, would you please forgive me? What is that? What is that? I had that happen to me recently. Yeah. Somebody brought that up to me. And you know what I said? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. How can I say... What's he supposed to say? Say, okay, for all that stuff you did to me that we won't mention and I don't know what you're talking about, I just forgive you. What he's doing is that's putting the ball back on him. Here's what he's really doing. You know, you're so sorry and you know what you did. You know what you did. And I'm not going to tell you. You know what it is. But if there's anything that I've done, then please tell me and I'll forgive you. That's wrong. Or we want this. We want somebody to say, Brother Burgess, I'm so sorry for what I did to you. I didn't mean to take all that money out of your wallet. Would you forgive me? That's what we want. We want somebody to come to us broken and owning everything. And are you listening to me? Sometimes that's not going to happen. Sometimes the people that offended you have long gone and moved on and they don't even think about it anymore, but you still got that penny in your pocket and you're waiting for them to come back to you and they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So you say, what do I do? Do what Joseph did. Just forgive him anyway. Yes. Now that doesn't mean it made it right. I don't believe Joseph said, well, we've just made it right. Here's what I think. I think Joseph said, God, I'm going to forgive what my brothers did to me. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. And I think the way he did it, I said I was going to leave you right there and not turn any more verses, but I can't do it. Let me turn to one more. Go to Genesis 42. I think here's how he was able to unconditionally forgive. He got his eye off the penny. Oh, help me, Lord, to finish this point out. He got his eye off this penny. And here's what he said. Look what he said. Genesis 42. Now remember, he's now the second man in Egypt. And God gave him, or Pharaoh gave him Zaphnath-Paneah, verse number 45. I believe she was a beautiful woman. I think Potiphar's wife was old and probably not attractive. I think this woman was attractive, which just teaches the principle you just need to do right and God will bless you for it. All right. But then God gave him two children. And look what he named. Look what the Bible says. Verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Now watch. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and my father's house. Do you see that? He's looking at that baby, and he's saying, you've helped me to forget my father's house, my mean old brother. Those guys that meant me hurt, look what God gave me. He gave me a baby. And then look at the next verse. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Can I ask you a question? Yes, certainly people have offended you, but has God also blessed you? So which is better, to look at your blessings or look at your offenses? Is it better to fix your attention on what somebody did to you to hurt you, or is it better to look at the blessings that God has given you? And what we want to do is we say they're all bad. Not everybody is all bad. The Bible says that there were good things found in thee. Speaking of a man, a king, that didn't do right. There are good things found in people, but you can look at the bad thing all the time. And I'm telling you, it will make it hard to forgive. So you can forgive unconditionally. If you look at the blessings God has given you and just say, God, I'm going to forgive it whether they ever say anything to me or not. I've tried it. I've put this to test. I'm not preaching the theory to you. I probably shouldn't tell you. There's a lady in Alabama, and oh, my goodness, she was very offended at me. And probably, you know, I didn't really enjoy being around her either. And, you know, it's one of those situations, if you see them in the store, you go down the other aisle, right? At least a few people are laughing because that's what you've done too as well. I appreciate that honesty. Yep, there they are. I'm going to go the other direction. Not going that way. And she was ugly to my wife. Oh, goodness. And I walked into a church where I was going to be speaking, and she was at that church at the door with the pastor. And when I stepped up there, she started in. You believe that? Started. And I just looked at the pastor. He looked at me. He's big-eyed. He didn't know what's going on. I know what's going on. I'm sorry that I saw her. I went up there. I had to deal with that in my heart. God, I got a big penny. You're going to have to help me with it. And so finally, I believe I did. I just forgave it. He said, how do you know it worked? Because I saw her again. And I just said, hello. How are you? No, I didn't say, oh, so good to see you. Would you come eat lunch with us? I didn't say anything like that. I just said, hey, hello. Hope you're doing well. And when I walked off, I was free. On the inside, I was free. She didn't ask me for forgiveness. I was free. So it does work. And where we started tonight was, if God's forgiven you of so many things, you and I, you got to get rid of this. You got to get rid of this. You say, how do I do it? Keep it small. Value the relationship more than the offense. Commit the offense to God. And if you have to, just forgive unconditionally. Won't make it right, but it'll make you free. Amen. And you can be free. And how many of you would say, it's a blessing to be free?
Amen.
We know we can't keep from being offended. We read that in Matthew 18. Offenses will come, but we can be free of that. So now, I know that's a difficult message. I would think in my mind that there's probably some things that have come to your mind, some people, maybe some things going on right now. And I don't know if we could just have, you care if I just take the invitation tonight? Could we have somebody come to the piano? Doesn't really matter, just anybody come to the piano. I know that that's just a token of what we preached about tonight. But for some of you, that person's never going to say they're sorry. You know what would be good for you to do? Not going to mean anything to me. I'm going to leave it right there. Or it might be good, genuinely. I don't know of anybody necessarily here tonight, but maybe, maybe your spouse, maybe your children, maybe your parents. Going to somebody and just saying, hey, Brother Burgess, I really am sorry for what I said to you last year. And I just want to make that right. You say, I don't think it'll work. I think it would. Maybe saying to your parents, hey, I'm sorry, I've been bitter at you, been angry about some things. Would you forgive me? Maybe your spouse. Or if they're not here, just say, God, I don't want that anymore.
Amen.
I think I'm just going to leave that with you. You'd be better off leaving tonight that way.